may be a relatively new term, but it is certainly not a new concept. People have been doing it for a very long time, typically in an effort to save time. We call it multitasking, and there are various types. There is the good type of multitasking, which is generally carried out without any negative consequences. An example of this might be seen here on campus, where you might witness a pre-theological student walking between classes and at the same time flipping through his Greek vocabulary cards. There is also a bad type of multitasking, such as when we are engaged in worship activities or surrounded by God's Word and we allow our mind to drift off in all sorts of other directions and to other things. There is, in addition, the highly risky type of multitasking, which can endanger others, such as making use of various communication devices while driving. Some states are now outlawing the use of certain electronics by drivers. But let's get back to the good type of multitasking, and the one who does it best, the one who does it perfectly. That, of course, is Jesus. Just look at the four gospel accounts. During his earthly ministry, Jesus was doing it all, and doing it perfectly. He was simultaneously living in complete obedience to the law, shunning every temptation of the devil, taking care of his disciples, teaching them in masterful fashion, prayerfully maintaining communication with his Father, healing those who were diseased, stepping in perfect synchronization with God's timetable for our redemption, announcing the kingdom of God to all, and the list goes on. Jesus worked very hard. He was the ultimate multitasker. And he still is. We are now less than a week away from the celebration of the Lord's ascension. Our eyes will again be directed upward to envision Jesus in his glorified ascended state. So how well does our mental image of Jesus at this moment match the Bible's revelation of Jesus at this moment? Might we think of the throne to which Jesus ascended as being more of an easy chair? Might we view the day of his ascension as the first day of a well-deserved break? We, after all, are locked into thinking in terms of having vacations to break up our workload, summers to space out the school terms, and so forth. Perhaps that's how many people think of this period of time for Jesus. He certainly deserved a vacation. Nobody has ever worked as hard as he did. Nobody has ever endured the level of agony that he experienced. So did he return to his heavenly throne to kick back and relax? Not in the least. Nor did he care to. From the moment he ascended, Jesus has been energetically working in connection with his created universe, the Holy Christian Church, and every single believer. We'll start with the big picture, the universe. Were it not for the work Jesus is doing right now, the entire thing would fall apart. Stars would fall, planets would spin out of control, Earth itself would lose its way. But our ascended Lord is keeping everything on track for the benefit of his people. The opening chapter of Hebrews looks directly at Jesus, who, it says, being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus is busily engaged in the maneuvering of the galaxies in order to bring about his wisely desired ends. He is before all things, wrote Paul, and in him all things hold together. What is true of the universe also holds true of his church. It too is the focus of his energies. The Lord did not leave his church adrift in the wild oceans of this unwelcoming world, but remains her invisible captain who guides, directs, and affects all she needs. Hear how the evangelist Mark brings his gospel narrative to a close without the slightest suggestion that the Lord has taken any kind of break. So then, after the Lord had spoken to the disciples, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they, that is the disciples, went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Though he has ascended, the omnipresent Lord keeps his hand in every aspect of the church's work, building the kingdom, protecting his own, and providing all that is necessary for the church to succeed. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If the church needs something, Christ will provide it. If the church needs something done, Christ will do it. And that is the case with our individual lives as well. He who ascended into heaven promises to stay right by our side, for he said as he was lifted up, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. He's actively working, first of all, for our spiritual benefit, serving primarily as our intercessor. Who is to condemn? Asks Paul. Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is, present tense, is interceding for us. No matter what our sin, Jesus is working as our public defender, pleading our case before God on the basis of his all-sufficient atonement. In addition, he's actively working on our physical, for our physical temporal benefit. Call upon me in the day of trouble, he invites, I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. And again, do not let your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. What a worker is found in our Savior. There's a catchy spiritual which has as its refrain, oh, he's King of kings and he's Lord of lords, Jesus Christ the first and last, no one works like him. It's not correct English, but it's a correct concept. No one is working like he who is working right now for the welfare of his people. And since he's God, he can multitask with 100% efficiency, 100% reliability, 100% success in everything he undertakes. He has both the ability and the desire to protect us, feed us, guide us, hear our prayers, sort out our problems, address our needs, while restraining our enemies, allowing them only to go so far and do so much. Jesus, he's the perfect multitasker, to create a word, which means we have in him all that is needed universally, ecclesiastically, and personally. How wonderful that the one who is now above all things keeps up on all things and continues to work with all things in our best interest until that day he lifts us up to join him in his glory. The glory spoken of in Hymn 212, stanzas 1 and 7, Hymn 212, the first and the last stanzas.